You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie's.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from The Athletic, here in my hotel room with Sam Jam Packard, the great, formerly of WEEI, now King of Vegas.
I wouldn't say King of Vegas. I'm more just a guy here, but yeah, it's been a fun... We've now been here officially a week. I think we're both suffering from a little Vegas brain. It's a lot to be in Vegas for 7 days in a row. But we've been here at Summer League, and not much has changed in terms of the Celtics.
Yeah, still very boring Summer League team. Still riding Semi Ojeleye and Jabari Bird and sometimes Yabu.
Sometimes Yabu is the very important distinction.
Two victories. And...
the guys who are NBA players are better than the guys who are not NBA players.
That has turned out to be true in this summer league, believe it or not. Let's first start talking about, we'll go with some summer league thoughts, and then we'll get into some things Jaylen Brown said today, including his thoughts on LeBron James leaving the Eastern Conference. Jaylen talking a big game. But we'll start with summer league, where Mitchell Robinson was slamming home dunks.
He was quite good today. He doesn't have a torso. It's just legs into a neck, but he's quite good. I was impressed with him.
Mitchell Robinson, very intriguing prospect. He kind of made me upset that Robert Williams did not play for the Celtics Summer League team this year, because the Celtics were supposed to have a guy that could jump for alley-oops and sky to block shots and inject enthusiasm into an otherwise boring summer league game. Because Robert Williams has sat out for almost the entire summer league, it's just been a little bit more boring than it would have been otherwise. But we got that juice very briefly with Mitchell Robinson. Did you have any takeaways from this game? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Kevin Knox wasn't as great as he has been in earlier games because he ran into the Semi Ojeleye, stone cold defender, but no, I mean...
It was hilarious. So after the game, one of the New York reporters was asking Ojeleye about, like, preparing to play Kevin Knox after all the buzz he's had. And I wanted to yell at the guy, like, this guy literally started playoff games guarding Giannis and later went and guarded LeBron James. Like, I don't think he's...
He's watching Kentucky tape to see. He's
sitting over there too worried about Kevin Knox. And Kevin Knox has been fantastic throughout the summer league. He's earned all the buzz he's gotten. But I just thought it was hilarious that this guy who literally was starting playoff games so that he could guard one of the 10 best players on the planet is now supposed to be, like, super concerned with Kevin Knox.
Do they even do scouting reports for these games?
Yes.
Go on, explain. You have that inside info.
They very much do scouting reports for these games. They treat it like real...
What are they working on? Like tendencies? Like, how do they know these players?
Tendencies, yeah. They put together edits from wherever the players were before. They put together edits from this year's Summer League. They definitely scout.
I guess it's Summer League for all the coaches and the video guys, too. So that
and
makes
not only
sense.
That, but you want to give the players the same type of experience that they'll be having during the regular season. So you want them to have to study guys' tendencies and defend to try to take away what guys do best, all of that. So yes, the Celtics very much take this seriously. other teams very much take this seriously. Although one coach, who I will not name, and was not a Boston coach, I want to point that out, said to me, he's like, I love coaching in summer league because there's no pressure here. He said the only pressure is to lose early in the playoffs so we can get out of here.
That makes a lot of sense. You don't want to have to be sticking around for, because all the coaches probably have Vegas brain as well. They've been here too. I'm sure they're trying to have a good time after they're done cutting up all the film and all the scouting reports they do for this game. But as for the Celtics, like I wouldn't mind if they didn't have another game. There's nothing really more to learn about this team. Is there anyone? I guess I don't know the answer to this question, but like, how does it work from the summer league roster to like which of these guys are going to be main Red Claws? Tell me, Utoff, give me two. He was my boy. He's been my favorite non-NBA player on the Celtics summer league team.
Really?
He can knock down the three. He sets a pick and roll. Who's better, Hassan? If we're talking about, and no one who's ever played for the Celtics.
I'm a big Hassan Martin guy. I think Bibbs has done a pretty good job.
Bibbs has been underwhelming, personally. I had high expectations for Bibbs.
I think...
Javier, his name's not Javier, but I want to call him Javier. What's the point guard?
Xavier Henry.
Is it Javier?
No, Xavier Henry was a dude who was formerly one of the best recruits in the country, went on to play at Memphis, I believe, and then for the Lakers and maybe Grizzlies for a little while. So there is a dude, Xavier Henry.
That's not the guy who's played on the Celtics Summer League
not
team.
Not the guy who played on the Celtics Summer League team. Yeah.
What's his name? What's his first name? Come on, J. King.
That's a good question. That's a very good question you asked there.
It rhymes with Javier, but it's like begins with a P. It's like Pavier.
It's a very good question you asked there.
He's had some good moments. He's a pest on the defensive end in transition. But like, are Celtics fans going to interact, like see these guys? Do you know how it works? Like who becomes the rest of the Red Claws roster?
So the Celtics they evaluate not only their own guys, but other guys throughout the league and kind of do some recruiting. To see who will be on their roster, not only for the Red Claws, where they'll have some players that they can assign there and can be affiliate players, but also two-way contract guys. Jabari Bird, obviously, he could potentially get an NBA contract. That would leave them with an open roster spot. Kadeem Allen, I believe the second year of his two-way contract is non-guaranteed at the moment. So that could be another option. Don't quote me on that, though. I'm not 100% sure on that.
The G League rules are all kind of squishy.
Some squishy G League rules.
It's hard to nail them down to figure out what's exactly going on around there.
Such squishy.
Yeah.
Squishy rules.
Shouts to Kelly Olynyk for National Slurpee Day.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk, big fan of National Slurpee Day. He was in Vegas, apparently, hanging out. Well, I missed him, though. Sad to miss my man Kelly Olynyk. I'll have to wait until Miami Celtics game in the future. That's probably it for Summer League chat today, right?
I can't think of anything
else. Kyrie and Jalen were there, though.
Kyrie showed up today, yeah.
Kyrie and Jalen were both very excited about Yabu's dunk and Yabu's three-pointer.
Trying to get him to dab.
Not quite as excited that Yabu declined his opportunity to dab. They were pretty disappointed about that.
That's kind of BS on Yabu's part because he did it in game one. And you're not going to do it for your good friends when they're sitting courtside?
He knew, I think, that he let down the people. He must have known, which is a true shame. You don't want to let down Uncle Drew.
No, they were specifically requested it. But, yeah, no, I've got zero more to talk about Summer League. The only other big topic is Marcus Smart. He came. He was also here. There's an amazing good hour and a half where just he was being basically stalked throughout the Thomas and Mac and the Cox.
I was doing some stalking.
Oh, of course, you have to. That's like half of what I do in summer leagues. So the games are not that interesting, so you look who's watching the games across the bench. It's usually the guys from the team. And then I am creepy, and I just look in the media section and see what people I recognize and see who they're talking to.
So let's actually talk about that Marcus Smart scene, because I don't think the drama of it was properly conveyed when I wrote about it.
Go on.
Like, the Celtics finished their summer league game, and then Marcus Smart, who is said to be frustrated with the Celtics throughout the restricted free agency process, he walks in almost as soon as the Celtics game finishes.
Great timing on his part.
He walks in, he like basically bumps into Brad Stevens on his way in. Brad says hello real quick. Then reporters come swarming over because we all saw Marcus Smart. So we booked it over, and Brad's like, yeah, we're not going to be able to have a moment to share. So we just kind of said, yeah, I'll talk to you later, Marcus. And then Smart continued to move on, went and sat in the front row with his agent, Happy Walters. And
strong name, by the way.
Strong name.
I don't want to negotiate against Happy Walters. Well, maybe I do, but never mind. Go.
Very strong name. And then Danny Ainge went over, walked over, like...
Jostled his hat.
Jostled his hat, which must have been their first in-person contact during the free agency.
Such
process.
A power play by Danny Ainge.
And he just, like, plays with his hat, and it was just so weird that Marcus Smart, after all that's gone on between him and the Celtics during the free agency process, then just paraded through. Whenever a player shows up, it's like everyone notices. And with Marcus Smart in particular, and especially the fact that he came just at the end of the Celtics game, crossed paths with Celtics players. Actually, when Smart walked out of the gym moments later, and I followed him because I was stalking him to try to get him to talk to me, he walked right by Danny Ainge on his way out and then went and met with apparently other teams in...
Yeah, he's got photographed in, like, the upper deck, the meeting with the Nets. Like, wild stuff. It was a good, like, 2 hours of just the Marcus Smart saga.
Yeah, that was more evidence that my job is just the dumbest job in the history of the world. Like, literally...
Bro, you're here making money. I'm just here for free. So, I think you don't... It's not that dumb.
But here's what I did. Marcus Smart leaves the gym. I didn't want to go talk to him while he's sitting in the front row with his agent. He walks out of the gym, and I like chase him down, and then he's in the hallway like talking to one of his friends, and I'm like just lurking, trying to get him to talk to me, and then I talk to him with Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe, like while we're walking down the hallway with like everyone else.
I noticed that both of you guys in your story said they told me. Himmelsbach was like, Marcus Smart told me in The Athletic, and then you said me in the Boston Globe.
And it was just the dumbest, like, it's so dumb that you have to go out there and...
It's a lot of what Summer League is just like...
And bother this dude while he's just in Las Vegas watching basketball. But that's what I got to do. And that's part of my job, I guess, is stalking random Celtics players when they walk through Las Vegas.
And all of that happened, and just nothing has changed with his contract situation. The Celtics are not going to make him an offer, and it seems like they're willing to match, and then he hasn't gotten an offer sheet, despite reports that he has, or might get them. But really none of that has changed. It seems like there's a lot of time, a lot of stories that he's unhappy with the process, but... he's kind of negotiating from a place of weakness because they had an extension offer, what, last year, that there's another report that like he would take that now. And so what's he going to do? He can either get an offer sheet, which he clearly has yet to be able to do, or just wait for the Celtics. So there's no reason for the Celtics to offer him.
Yeah, they're kind of very content to let the market dictate what Smart gets, and the market just hasn't been there for him so far. We'll see. We'll see. I'm very skeptical at this point that another team will swoop in with an offer sheet that will make the Celtics think twice about matching it. I do think there's a chance that the Celtics and Smart reach a longer-term agreement, but I also think there's a chance Smart just ends up signing his qualifying offer and playing 1 year for the Celtics on that deal.
Here's a question that we've been asked probably thousands of times, but we're talking Marcus Smart contract. Do they think, like, the impending free agency of Terry Rozier and Kyrie Irving next year makes them more, like, less, like, reluctant to, like, sign Smart long-term? Like, you pretty much have two point guards, both of whom would be up next season. Do you want to, like, lock Smart in for long-term security, or do you want to just kind of, like, do a shorter-term deal because you, like... You might have to throw a bunch of money at Kyrie or Terry Rozier. I don't know who, what other point guards are available next offseason, but I think Kyrie Irving is clearly the top one. But then Terry's is up there as like another top point guard if you miss out on Kyrie.
Yeah, I continue to think it's impossible for the Celtics to keep Kyrie, Rozier, and Smart long term, all of them, just because financially it just doesn't make sense. Like, their roster is going to be so expensive, and if you keep all those guys, including Rozier and Smart, who are both set up to be backups for the foreseeable future because the starting five is young and really damn good, then I think it's going to be really tough to do that. I don't really know how the uncertainty of Kyrie impacts things, but I'm sure it does.
It has to.
And, you know, Rozier, he'll be a restricted free agent, so they'll be able to control that to an extent. I think he'll...
But you have to think about it. Next year, they're going to have so many more teams are going to have cap space that he's going to command a bit. Like,
and maybe, though. I mean...
But he can shoot the basketball, so, like, I think he's going to command more money than Marcus Smart does this year. Like, I feel like that's more... I would not be shocked if Tito's playing for another team next year because they don't have the money to match or they need to re-sign Kyrie. But I don't know. It's hard to, like, figure out how much that weighs into their thinking for a Marcus Smart contract. Like... Maybe they just want to get him on that cheap, longer-term deal that's like a tradable contract moving forward.
Yeah, if it's tradable, then whatever. It doesn't really matter long-term, right? Like, you can always move it. If it's a bigger, huge offer sheet like the one the Kings offered to Zach LaVine, then who knows if that's quite as tradable. You'll probably be able to trade it if you attach something. But, yeah, it's weird. I feel like we've talked about Marcus Smart so damn much. I feel like I've written about Marcus Smart so damn much lately, and really not much has changed.
It's no, nothing like, at all. Since contract extension talks, like, during the season, there's just, like, no change in the situation.
There's like
I understand why he's frustrated, because there's been no change in the status.
Yeah, there's the drama of him getting frustrated. There's the drama of whether the Celtics have communicated enough with him. And that all just sounds like negotiation stuff. Like, Celtics they don't think Smart will, or they think there's a chance at least that Smart doesn't get a huge offer, and why would they just go out and offer him something huge if he's not going to get it elsewhere? So the Smart situation remains the same, but we got to talk to Jaylen Brown today.
Oh, exciting. Well, you got to talk to Jaylen Brown twice in 2 days, because you also got to go bowling with Jaylen Brown.
I did get to go bowling with Jaylen Brown. He wanted me to let the people know he is, and I quote him, an excellent bowler.
Ooh. Is he, though? Did you watch him? Did you scout him?
He claimed that if you give him a few games to warm up, he bowls in the 200s.
Damn.
And that he has bowled a 250 before. Now, is Jaylen Brown full of shit? That is possible.
That is possible. Does Jaylen Brown think a little bit highly of himself?
But could Jaylen Brown be a very good bowler? I think that's well within the realm of possibility. I think that maybe there's a chance he actually has bowled a 250.
Well, here's the thing about Jaylen Brown.
He's as excellent as he says he is.
He's a champion of the growth mindset, so he's going to believe that he can bowl that way. And I feel like the positive thinking, the mental domination, the being a mental alpha helps with bowling. Bowling, is a mental game. You have to do the same approach every single time, and then like little adjustments. I buy it. I buy it 100%.
He also says he has his own bowl at own ball at a bowling alley in Boston. And
damn, Jaylen Brown does bowl.
He is treated well there. So,
Jaylen Brown and Mookie Betts could hang out.
Big time bowler, allegedly.
Alleged, yet to be confirmed.
Self confirmed.
Oh,
self appointed.
Vegas sources say,
yeah,
legit bowler. But he also talked to the media in a scrum today. And what did he say? You were there. I wasn't.
He said, fuck LeBron James for leaving the Eastern Conference. I wanted to kick his ass myself.
That was the subtext.
That is not what he actually said. But, yeah, that was totally changing the tone. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Tweak some words here and there. But that was the summary of things. Jaylen wished LeBron had stayed in the East and thinks the Celtics would have beaten him if he did. And I think that's right. If he stayed in Cleveland, I think no matter what, the Celtics were going to be the favorites. If he had gone to Philadelphia, maybe that changes things. And, I mean, obviously the fit of Ben Simmons, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid would not have been perfect.
But LeBron James at some point, talent, they would have figured it out.
When you have so much talent, it's just overwhelming. And I can't even imagine a team that would have had to guard Simmons, LeBron, and Embiid. Like, how the hell do you match up with that size and skill? I think the Celtics would have been, like, the only team with a chance because of all the big, versatile dudes they have. The only team in the East with a chance, obviously, the Warriors and Rockets and all those dudes are out there. But LeBron went to the Lakers instead. Celtics are, I think, the class of the East. And
favorites to win the East.
And apparently somewhat disappointed that they didn't get to beat LeBron.
I like that approach from Jalen. After, like, the Celtics season went down to the Cavs and LeBron 2 years in a row. At least publicly, that's what you would want them to say. You don't want them to be like, yeah, I'm glad LeBron's not there, or it's going to be a cakewalk, or, like, we couldn't have beaten him. So that's why I like that Jalen has that approach, and that especially it makes sense from a guy who's had his season end at the hand of LeBron James 2 years in a row.
Yeah. So that was a thing Jaylen Brown said.
Anything else interesting from the scrum?
He really talked up Marcus Smart and said that he would like to see Smart back, that everybody knows what Marcus Smart does for a team, numbers be damned.
Impacts winning, combat muscles, et cetera, et cetera.
One weird thing, Jaylen revealed out of nowhere that he and Marcus Smart had a rocky start to their relationship.
Ooh. Why is that?
That's a very good question. It was toward the end of a long scrum, and...
Oh, come on, Jay. You and your whole journalist didn't ask the follow-up question.
See, a real journalist tries to wait on that follow-up question to then write a full story on the rift later.
Yeah, but then there you have a bunch of other reporters at that scrum who also think maybe I'm going to ask about this later, and then you have, like, a how do you figure out like B-Rob's probably chasing that story right now.
Go have fun with it, B-Rob. Good luck,
because the kid's going to write a better story than you.
No, B-Rob's one of my guys.
The Celtics beat writers, I've been hanging out with them. You guys seem all very friendly, but there is, like, an inherent competition there. There's a lot of you out here right now.
Way too many Celtics media members out here in Las Vegas. It's like a home game. It's like a goddamn home game. Why are all these assholes out here? Including myself.
Including yourself. But don't you fear that some, like, what? That Fred Katz, he's going to write about that. Tom Westerholm, who's got cool tattoos I didn't realize until I saw him in some sexy Vegas clothes, he's going to be worried about it.
There will be a race to this story.
I'm excited.
It will be a race.
Who's the best source with Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart asking the right question?
None of us may end up writing it, because what if Smart ends up somewhere else?
True.
Then none of us will write about
it. I'm just trying to peel behind the curtain here, give people the inside Vegas experience.
Yeah. The inside Vegas experience has been a doozy. Oh, by the way, I just want to point out that Jaylen did say he and Smart are tight now. Smart was at his bowling event the other night, and they bowled together. So
they bowled together?
If you bowl together, you bro together.
The bros who bowl together stay together. That's what I always say.
I think that's one hell of a line. What have been your thoughts about Vegas in general? And I know you have some thoughts in your notes about the general Vegas experience.
It's we've been here too long, but it's fun. It's like an NBA convention. So, like, every player, not every player, but you just see players, every media member is here. You see random people walking around. I'm walking through my hotel. I went to the sports book to cash my Celtics beat the 76ers ticket that I had the last time I was in Vegas. Used all that money to put it on Celtics to win the championship next year, plus 500. And I was coming back from that, just run into Isaiah Thomas. And it's just like, that's a cool, it's just a random thing that's going to happen during NBA Summer League. I highly suggest people come out for 3 days max. Like, don't stay longer than that. But you might run into some random NBA folk. So it's a fun experience.
This is true. This is true.
Who's the most obscure NBA person or player you saw during your time here?
Most obscure?
Yeah, like, I saw Jahlil Okafor this morning at breakfast. That was I was just, like, eating breakfast next to Ja. Like, have you had any odd experiences? Maybe you've met someone who's a cool NBA person that you've was very exciting. I don't know, Jay. Give me your highlights of off the court Vegas.
Who was somebody that I ran into?
Yesterday, I was in the lobby of my hotel, and Woj was there, and I walked past Woj. And right as I walked past Woj, coming around the corner was Shams. And it was like, and I saw them go touch each other, and I was like, oh my God, that is a major moment of information. Shams is a free agent, by the way, free agent watch. Sources say he could go to back to ESPN, or he could join Jay King at The Athletic. Who knows? But that was a major moment. I don't know. That's like me as a not a, a professional. Those are the cool random shit that happens when you're at NBA Summer League. Maybe you're not as starstruck as by Shams and Woj as I am.
So this is weird, but actually Bill Russell was the guy who you should be talking about.
I didn't see Bill Russell.
I did.
Well, then you talk about it.
Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were both at the same Summer League game, which, number one, why?
Real cool.
Why?
I don't know why they're there, but why not?
Why did two of the greatest NBA centers ever both go to a Kings-Cavs Summer League game in Las Vegas? I don't know. Were they there
to see Marvin Bagley? Probably not. To see
Shetty anyway, Austin? Kareem and Bill Russell both at the same Summer League game, which was cool. Bill Russell got hit in the head with an errant pass.
Ooh.
I actually tried to write a story about it, but the guy who threw the pass just kind of snuck out. He didn't know media wanted to talk to him.
He wasn't. He like thought he was irrelevant, player. But no, he hit Bill Russell in the head with the basketball.
So he took off, and which was a shame. I that would have been a pretty funny story about the guy who threw a turnover and hit Bill Russell in the head and knocked off Bill Russell's glasses. Another thing, Bill Russell was flipping everybody off.
That was fun. I did see the clip of that.
I think he flipped off Kareem. I saw him flip off Vince Carter for sure. So he was just flipping off people. He got a good kick out of it when someone hit him in the head with a a turnover. What else do we have out here? I prefer seeing random players. Like, when I see...
That's what I asked you. The most obscure random dude.
The guy who I was like, oh, shit, was Jerome the Junkyard Dog Williams.
Don't know who that is.
That's pathetic.
Sure. Tell me about him.
You guys should see the way I just...
Yo, he just his face turned.
I just glared at Jam.
He was upset.
I'm very disappointed.
Jerome Williams?
Yes.
As we both
the Junkyard Dog. I'm not Googling. I don't have to Google him. I know exactly who the fuck the Junker is.
Oh, all right. Tell me about him. We'll see how accurate you are.
He was one of the great hustle players in NBA history. A dude who did not have much offensive talent, but still made his name as the Junkyard Dog.
Who did he play for?
The Knickerbockers was when he had the most fame.
When he was the most Junkyard Dog. So far, it checks out. Where did he go to college?
Georgetown, obviously.
Damn it, Jay King, you're... 100% correct.
I'm really good at the where do you go to college game.
He actually played the majority of his career with the Pistons, then the Raptors and Bulls. All right. I asked for you the most obscure player. You nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I don't have many other Summer League observations. Mo Bamba's arms are insane.
Lengthy.
Like, they don't make sense.
Man has some lengthy arms.
Jackson on the Grizzlies can jump real high. He's also tall. And that's about, like, I don't know, like, are they under, who would be your Summer League MVP or player who stood out to you the most in terms of, I guess?
Kevin Knox was one of the guys who really stood out to me.
Except until today when he was not great.
He wasn't great against the Celtics, but he's been out here and I think really shown a lot. I wasn't sure how good he'd be after watching him play at Kentucky just a few times. But I was really impressed by him. Who else did I like out here? It's weird because last year, every rookie came in and was just awesome. Like,
Donovan Mitchell came in last year and was just amazing. Like, they only played two games. They were like, all right, you don't need this anymore.
He was a stud. Tatum was a stud.
Kuzma
showed out. Markelle Fultz was really good before weird things happened to his jump shot.
I feel like he's been courtside every game.
And Lonzo had the buzz about him last year. Lonzo was throwing up triple-doubles and stuff, too.
It hasn't been that as exciting this year. Like, yeah. Ayton he's been all right, but he got, like, Bagley had some moments, but there's never been, like,
Trae Young was, like, did it in spurts. So, yeah, it was kind of underwhelming compared to last year. But last year was one of the best rookie classes in
the longest
time. So I think it's kind of to be expected that this year was a little bit of a letdown comparatively. What's weird about last year, too, is everybody thinks, like, and this is obviously right, that Summer League is not, like, what you should judge based off. But all the guys who are really
If you're good and going to be an NBA player, you will perform well in Summer League. It's like being bad in Summer League is something you can judge. You shouldn't overrate, but, like, be someone being great. But, like, you clearly see with the Celtics, like, the guys who are NBA players play better when, like, against competition. So you have to grade it on a scale, but being bad at Summer League is not good. Like, who's the dude from the Pistons? Henry Ellison?
Hank, my man, Hank.
Hank. Garbage. Garbage.
You're not a Hank guy.
I saw him for a half. I sold all my stock in him. That's what I like the quick reactions from the half of basketball in Summer League, but that might come back to bite me, but this is the internet, and no one's going to remember my Hank Ellison take, unless I'm right.
You know who I think had a really good draft? The Bulls. I think Wendell Carter is going to be really good, and I think my man Hutchinson's the real deal.
There you go.
Yeah. So, shouts to Chicago.
I was not that impressed with Wendell Carter at the game yesterday, but you know what? Stuff happens.
My man's getting Al Horford comparisons.
Yeah, that's just Timmy Bontemps saying that.
No, there's a lot of others, actually. I've heard it a few places. I heard it before my man Timmy Goodtimes.
All right, so who's the NBA person you were most excited to reconnect with when you got to Summer League?
The NBA.
Someone you haven't seen in a while.
Like Ryder?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Bontemps is one of my guys. I like seeing Bontemps a lot. There's a lot of guys out here that I like seeing. Friedel's my boy.
He's got a great laugh.
I can fucks with Friedel.
He was wearing a blazer one of the days. I was like, Friedel, it's too hot.
All the Celtics dudes are cool. Friedel had to go on TV, man. He's big time.
That's what I do. Like, half the games is just like looking in the media section, looking like, first I find where you and John are sitting, and then I see who you're talking to, and then I just like see, look around. Because that's part of the fun of NBA Summer League. There's every media member ever is there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get to see everybody that you've seen the whole time. You get to see everybody from the league.
I ran into Kevin O'Connor on the concourse. He dapped me up.
O'Connor's another guy I like to see a lot.
He's a superstar now. It's hard to get. I was trying to get like just get a hangout with O'Connor.
We had dinner with him last year, but he's blown up. The whole Ringer staff was here, so he couldn't hang out with us.
Motherfucker. I'm glad I got to see him.
Motherfucker. No, Kevin's my guy. Yeah. Who else? Then you see all the same old Boston guys.
Yeah, but no, it was a good opportunity. I got to hang out with Tom Westerholm for the first time. Cool dude. Yep. Like, I knew him, of course. And then dinner with Fred Katz. Good guy.
Excited to have him on the podcast.
He's been on the podcast
before. Pina's my boy, too. Pina's another guy.
Pina? Always good to see Pina.
I'm a big fan of hanging out with.
I can't tell if Pina likes me or not. I feel like he
likes you.
He keeps it real cool.
It was good to see Chris Mannix's cargo shorts. Those were...
I haven't seen Mannix once out here.
My man was wearing cargo shorts.
I love
shorts.
That he's wearing cargo shorts. Did him and Corrales squash their beef?
Mannix and Corrales had beef?
Wasn't there? There was a whole thing during the season where, like, Corrales wrote something and then Mannix said something. I don't know. There was. You don't remember this at all? And then people actually thought you and Mannix had beef?
I thought I was the only one with beef with Chris Mannix. Does our whole podcast beef with Chris Mannix?
I think I don't beef with Chris Mannix. I've talked to the man once, but... that doesn't stop me from having beef with other people, but apparently you don't remember the beef?
No.
The beef king himself?
The beef king himself. Jake. That's a shame, but the only reason I brought him up was to talk about his cargo shorts.
Well, I'm glad.
Had to bring up the cargo shorts.
The only other thing I have on my list of notes is watching Mike Zarin watch the games is a great time because he is – like, it's still Summer League, and, like, people will joke about it, but he is into it. Every single call is, like, life or death. He's on the bench, across from the bench every single game, and he's just, like, totally engaged. It's awesome. He's one of my favorite people, though, to watch him watch the game.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic to watch. Like, Shemmy hit a three today, and he was, like, pumping the fist. And then Yabu made a move, and he, like, stood up and was cheering. He lives and dies with how the Celtics play. Even in summer league, it is amazing. He's been his family has been a Celtics season ticket holder for like 40 years. So he was a fan long before he worked for the team. And it's cool that he still kind of has that fan side, because most guys don't have that anymore. Most guys lose that. And Zarin is still out there, like,
yelling at the refs. Like, there's a bad call on Semi today. Ooh. Semi continues to get boned by the referees. The referees hate Semi, even the new ones in training. But Zarin was, like, yelling, screaming at the person standing up. It's fantastic. I love Zarin wearing the starter jacket before every game, the satin. It's cool. It is cool that he was a fan before, like, then he was like a clerk on the Supreme Court, and then he became a Celtics general counsel. Cool path for Mike Zarin. Big ups to that guy.
Yeah, we were chatting with Zarin about why he doesn't wear the Celtics starter jacket or whatever jacket it is during summer league games. And
he should have a cool vest.
He said he doesn't wear it during preseason games, so why would he do it during summer league games?
That's a good point. Do you think he packed it just in case?
Couldn't argue with the man after that.
You think he's just sitting in on a hanger in his hotel room?
Yeah, he probably like has it in a frame and takes it.
Must
out of
break
frame.
Break only if emergency.
Yep. So, do you got anything else to discuss?
That's about it. You cleared out my note. Oh, I have to talk about. I did not and have not gotten a Kaizen tattoo. It just hasn't happened for me yet. It's not that I don't believe in the idea. It's just that I don't want to get a shitty tattoo. And I haven't gotten...
You vowed to get a tattoo during your time in Las Vegas.
I'll be back.
Are you a man of your word?
I will manipulate the facts of the situation to make it
okay.
So.
If you were a true Kaizen kid...
If I was a true Kaizen kid, I'm going to process the situation and analyze what I'm doing and not rush too quickly into decisions. That's incremental progress. I need to get there incrementally towards the tattoo. I'm still in the design phase. If I'm going to blow through the design phase, that's not Kaizen at all. That's you have to get there slowly. So I need a font. I haven't picked out a font. I didn't know I needed a font. I got a general color scheme down. I think it's going to be green with a black outline. But I need, font's key. I didn't know I needed a font guy. I'm not just going to walk into it like on the strip and just say, write Kaizen on me.
Just go with Helvetica or some shit.
Bro, people have strong...
Arial.
I'm not going Arial. I know a good friend of mine, listens to the podcast.
We could pick a font right now.
All right, you pick out a font. He got the word Yeah Kid tattooed on his butt in Comic Sans. That was one of the better tattoos. But no, I don't know. I don't know if I want a serif, a sans serif.
Impact.
Ooh.
Impact or Meriwether. Meriwether could be big time.
Well, can you type out Kaizen so I can see what it looks like?
Yep. We're doing this right now on the podcast.
Well, of course.
Live. This is live, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, if I fall in love with a font, I'll get the tattoo. It's just I'm not going to get a – it needs to be designed properly. I don't know to get all caps, maybe lowercase.
I think Meriwether may be the one. That's kind of cool. Kaizen?
That is good.
That Meriwether.
I'm leaning into it. Yeah, no, that looks
Meriwether is dope. If you don't go with Meriwether, you're a chump.
I think I am a chump. I don't think I'm going to get a tattoo tonight.
We just decided on Meriwether.
All right. Well, we'll be back in Vegas like 18 times the next year. I can get a tattoo. I can get it anywhere.
18 times the next year?
Currently, my project is working in the state of Nevada, so I come to Vegas a bunch.
Your vow was to do it during summer league, but...
I hope it wasn't.
You ain't nothing but a bitch.
Guilty as charged.
All right, let's end it there. Packard ain't nothing but a bitch.
I've learned that that cowardice can win you awards, though, like Rookie of the Year. I just recycled a tweet.
You did.
I did. I thought it was a good line at the time, but clearly
you read your tweet on the podcast.
Yeah, but clearly you had either seen my tweet or didn't think it was a good line, and so I'm disappointed in the libraries.
You're on my lists.
I'm glad that you follow me.
You qualify. I don't just follow you. You're on my lists. I follow people that I pay no attention to.
That's a good
strategy. Sadly,
I convinced Fred Katz to follow me. He said he had a strict rule where he doesn't follow fans, but I got that follow.
You're a podcaster. You're not just a fan.
Some people would disagree with that contention. I would say I'm a fan who is lucky to get a credential sometimes.
That's who you are. Fan who is lucky to get a credential sometimes.
In Boston.
All right. Let's wrap it up there. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Put up!
If you don't subscribe already,
the Locked On Podcast Network. Sorry, I jumped the gun there.
You jumped the gun real hard.
I forgot about the whole like subscribe thing. You I was just excited to hard. Do Sal Palantonio, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So,
just kicking to me for the end, so I can do the Sal Palantonio thing.
I don't even know where I am anymore. But you guys should subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcasts: Spotify, iTunes, wherever else. Give us a 5-star rating. We need that shit.
That's how we make money. That's how I get excess funds to come out here and pay for tattoos and go to summer league games.
And pay for not getting a tattoo, which...
No, I paid for like the moment of thinking about it, though.
I'm shaking my head at this motherfucker right now. Anyway, that's it for this episode of Locked On Celtics Podcast.
Phone up! The Locked On Podcast Network. Ties in. Yeah. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics.